Well, y'all are behaving well. You're already sat down and got really quiet. We are delighted to have Reach a Village with us tonight and their staff. And Ellis, we welcome you to the stage. We've gotten to know your parents, and so we want to talk about your story a little bit in a moment. And it's good to see you again, Pastor Igor. I know I got to meet you in my office a few months back, and you've logged some miles since then as well. So why don't we start it this way? I'm just going to let each of you give us a little thumbnail bio about yourselves, and we'll just step in and run with it.
Well, I'll go ahead and start. First of all, thank you for welcoming my family. I really love that my dad's still plugged in to a local church, even though he does ministry globally. It's really awesome to get fed locally, right? The local church. That's where the growth needs to happen. We both care locally and globally, and so grateful that he's getting spiritually fed here with multiple congregations here in the area. I grew up on the mission field because these crazy Jesus-loving parents took me to Thailand and the Philippines, and so that was my experience. Even though we're from the South, they're from Colman County. I grew up outside of Colman County. So coming back to Alabama was always kind of an odd thing, you know, but it really is a blessing. Alabama is where I say I'm from, but really I'm from the Lord, and he's taken us everywhere. But it's been a real blessing. I'm married. I've got been married for 19 years now, coming on 19. I have two kids, a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old, a boy and a girl, so my wife was happy. She's like, we're done. Done having kids. And it's just been a blessing working with my father. I never thought I would join alongside the ministry with him. I had a wonderful career after I graduated high school in the Philippines. As a missionary kid, I went to a missionary kid's school, came back to the States, lived in Alabama for 2 years, and got to kind of reconnect with family, and then the Lord called me to Bible school, and so I've done master's work in community development, but the Lord called me back into ministry to work with my father, and I'm so grateful to work alongside him in the ministry, it really is a blessing to be here and I don't want to take up too much time, but yeah, God's been so, so good.
Well, I want to tiptoe back into that a little bit, because a few months ago when your dad shared with our congregation, he just told us the incredible and miraculous story of how you died sickness as a child, and he was, such powerful when he said with tears in his eyes that, said, Lord, if it requires me to lose my child, yep, to preach the gospel here, and then the Lord brought you back to life. So you're a living testimony of a miracle of God. Yeah.
It really is amazing. And for me to actually be doing ministry now in Thailand alongside local Thai believers, it really is amazing. And so I'm so grateful that the Lord is, that Ellis come alongside,
yeah,
this work. It really is a blessing.
Yeah. Well, that to me, that's just amazing. At the very place the Lord tried to, the enemy tried to take your life,
yep,
the Lord now has sent you to save so many other people's lives. Yeah, that's awesome.
Amen.
That's a God thing.
It's a God thing. It ain't me. It's the Lord.
Yeah. And you live in Illinois currently, is it correct?
I live in Crook County, Illinois. Chicago.
Okay. I won't ask any questions about that.
Oh, boy.
So,
I married a local Chicago girl, so I had to stay local.
What are your, I know you probably have a broad spectrum of responsibilities, but primarily, what is your role in Reach a Village?
Yeah, I currently serve as the Vice President of International Ministry, and so then I am overseeing Eurasia and Southeast Asia. I work closely with Southeast Asia. There's 7 countries in the Southeast Asia that we work in, and I work directly with those national leaders and their leadership teams to see ministry continue to move forward.
And so you're talking about Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam,
absolutely,
Indonesia,
Myanmar, Philippines. Yeah. So it's just incredible what the Lord is doing over there.
And so when you say Eurasia, would that be like what we would call Eastern Europe?
So Eastern Europe, yeah. And Igor can speak a little bit more. Yeah. He's from Russia, and so, yeah, he can talk a little bit more about Eurasia and Reach of Villages work there. So
yeah. Well, he's passed the ball to you, Igor. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, yes. My name is Igor, and I'm married. I don't remember for how many years. Good that my wife is not here. Okay, so we have three.
You're being live stream.
Yeah,
you're in trouble, brother.
Okay, yeah. We have three boys, and the oldest one is married, and we have grandson. So, and we have now we have kind of adopted son. It's another funny story. So, and we all came here, and my wife is Ukrainian, so, and I'm Russian, so we kind of, you know, have to have a peace in our family, otherwise I would be rest in peace, and so I have to kind of, take that part. So anyway, we're glad to be here. I started doing ministry in China 25 years ago, and we continue to do so. It's not seven countries like Ellis is overseas. It's just one little country in Asia, and another little country, Russia, is also was one part of my responsibility. At least part of that, the one that close to China, that side, Russian Far East, we call it, like Siberia and Far East. That side was also part of my responsibility in the ministry. So, and yeah, I'm glad that we are here and can spend time with you guys. It's Alabama is a beautiful place. I love it. You know, on the first time I visit Alabama, I just will get to that, sorry. First time I visit Alabama, it was so interesting. When I fly back, you know what, on the plane, there was the movies that you can watch, okay? And there was the movie Sweet Home Alabama, and I got to that one. I was like, okay, I want to watch that. Yeah, so that was interesting. And another thing was like, I was so surprised how spiritual people here. I'm like not like in Washington State where I stay right now, and it's a totally different situation. And when I get here, it was like I feel so welcomed and good. And there was a time I was returning back our rental car, and there's a guy sitting beside me, and on his his hands here is tattoo. It in Hebrew is shamar. And I was asking him, what is that? And he says, well, shamar is the one who protects, you know, it's from the Bible. And I say, I know. How do you get that? And so we start talking. That was so good. We shared some, our experience in the church. And then I was going to leave already, and he stood up and says, can I hug you? We're brothers, right? And I said, yeah. So that was so surprisingly. So we hugged, and I go, and I don't know who, I don't remember even his name right now, but I tell everybody, I have to go back to Alabama. I have brother there. So if you find that guy, just let me know, you know. This is in Hebrew, over here on this hand, in Hebrew, and tattoo is Shamar. So, anybody with that tattoo here, just in Hebrew, just ask him, do you have brother
in
Washington?
Tell him that Igor said hello. Right?
Yes, tell him that Igor says hello.
When you and I fellowshipped in my office a few months back, I was just touched deeply by your testimony of how over the years you were slipping across the Chinese border to reach the Chinese with the gospel. So you lived in the border region of where Russia and China meet. Could you tell us a little bit what that was like? I mean, is this something that was illegal for you to do, or what did that look like? I mean,
okay. Well, now I can say that I was the Bible smuggler. So, and that was interesting experience. You know, like it was pretty open border that if you come from this little town to across the river, it is another Chinese town, so it's kind of open, but they also search you, search your bags and everything. So, and to, in order to bring some Bibles, in the wintertime it was good. I put my Bibles on my body, tape it, and then could put my coat on it. And that I, at that time I was much more tight guy. So I put more Bibles on me at that time. So, and you're crossing the border, and then you come to Chinese home church and just, you know, take the, give the Bible to, give Bibles to them. They were so happy. Sometimes I bring some, you know, just printed new materials to them, and people want to know, is it good or not, you know, test it. So I bring it there as well. And that was like a small amount that I can bring. But then we were able to have, this is just a river between us, okay? So this is Russia and China, it's a little river. You can see the Chinese on another side of the river. So, and we have a boat going back and forth, bringing some goods. So we can, we talk to the guy on the boat and feed him, and we put, I don't know, maybe 20 boxes of Bibles in the boat, and then they put some, on the top they put some other stuff, and then they just cross the border. And then the Chinese believers on that time, during the night, they come and get the Bibles from that boat. And we're working for that for the whole year, like trying to smuggle Bibles into China, and like 20-foot or 40-foot container we were able to ship in 1 year. And that was a very good time. But it is not easy. And the church who received the Bibles, the pastor was caught maybe at the last part of our Bible together. So he was caught and was sentenced in prison for 3 years for receiving Bibles from Russia. So anyway, that was it was a life and a life in the ministry.
So the Chinese church, I know they have like a state-sponsored mm-hmm. church, but there's a lot of growth in the underground church in China. Could you give us some insight into what that looks like? And you have a story. I think you shared with me a story about a group that was broken upon, and one of them, they didn't want their leader to be caught, and somebody else kind of took their place.
Well, yes, the home churches. We work with underground. We call them underground or home churches. They meet at homes, and like... in the best times, you know, before the COVID time, it was kind of best time for China, like maybe for 10 years or so, we have relatively freedom. The Chinese government know that something going on and just don't bother it. But then it started harder and harder and harder. So at that time, in a small apartment, could be fitted like 100 people. And, you know, that was, they just sit like that all together and share the word of God and they worship together. So we connect to that kind of churches a lot, and we help them a lot. And they are not looking to the government, what the government says, because the government restricts even existing churches to share the gospel with the kids, for example. You cannot have a children ministry. You cannot share the gospel on the streets. You know, you cannot really invite into the church. If somebody comes, that's okay. But, yeah, you cannot do outreach. So that is the... Or some topics you cannot preach in the church, like creation. You know, you cannot preach about creator, you know, because the evolution is the primarily doctrine that they use in China as the communist country. So, and that's why the home churches, they don't care about all this restriction. They teach the word of God, they bring kids, and that's why we want to help them a lot, and we are helping. And of course, the police, when they realize that something going on, they come and arrest the leaders and put them in the prison. They think that if they cut the leader, maybe this group will kind of disappear, you know. And that was it was recently, like 6 months ago. In that case, the small group was meeting, and then the police came, and they asked, who is the leader? And it's a young lady, young girl, like 18 years old. She stood up and says, I am a leader. And they got her in the prison. And she covered the real one, the real leader that was in the group. They want to save him for the church. So that is something that you couldn't see much, you know, but that's what's going on. Right now it's like 6 months old story. Yeah, and this is... they are heroes. I mean, like those people are in that kind of situation. They're still preaching. They're still sharing the gospel. And God does miracles in that country. A lot.
That's really challenging and convicting to hear that kind of story, because here in America, you know, we try to provide all kinds of things to get people to come out to a group, to connect with believers, you know, to come to a Bible study. But I'm hearing you say that people are risking their lives to be able to get a copy of the Bible or to attend a group where somebody's teaching them what it means. And not only that, they're willing to sacrifice themselves in order to preserve the teacher so he can continue teaching. So there seems to be a hunger and a desperation that we've lost sight of here. Do you have any insight on that coming from someone with a heart? I mean, you're from Russia, obviously, which has its own trials and tribulations, but then feeling a burden of God to penetrate China with the gospel, and then with your family situation now, and you can share what you want to share about how you ended up here, but that wasn't an easy thing to do either. But obviously there's a fire that burns in your heart to see the people of China discipled and growing in Christ, because that's still center of your bullseye currently, right?
Yes, that's true, and that's because of God. You know, like I was growing up in an atheistic country in Soviet Union. We don't believe in God, and there is no God. You know, when you learn that in school, and then the Soviet Union was broken, the borders were open, and people start coming and sharing the gospel in Russia and in other countries like Ukraine and so on. So But I was starting practicing some martial arts at that time, and Chinese martial arts, and I wanna just have some connections to China, but I live in the little town, nowhere, you know, it's like in the middle of nowhere, and there is no Chinese at all, but I dream to be in China and dream to have Chinese friends. And the first Chinese that came to our town that I know of, and they were doing some presentation in the movie center, and I didn't know what's going on. So I came, tried to figure out what's going on, and then I met the Chinese. It's a big, like a group of Chinese, like maybe 10 people, some other Russians around. They speak English. There's English translators. I was like, oh, what's going on? Why are the Chinese speaking English? And it's like, and then I start looking around what it could be, and I find out one invitation on the wall of this movie center. It says like the Evangelical Church invites you to our worship time, and there is the guests from Hong Kong, and they share the gospel with us. So I was like, well, what's going on? Because in my mind, I don't know, it would be funny right now, but I'm Russian, okay? So, and I have my grandma that is Russian Christian Orthodox, Russian Orthodox Christian believer, well, she claimed to be. So, and I think that Jesus is Russian God, okay? So, because we have Andrew, Peter, my grandfather was Matthew. It's all the Russian names, okay? So I thought that all these apostles are Russian, okay? And then Jesus is Russian God, and I was like, okay. And I come to these Chinese people and say, why do you believe in Russian God? I mean, like, you are the Chinese from so far away. You came here and you're sharing to us Russian God. Let's see. Yeah, I want to be like you. You know, I want to go to China. I want to worship your gods. You know, or you have such a rich culture. Why do you believe in this Russian God? And one of the guy was so patient, and he was listening to all my complaints, and he says, okay, I'll tell you why. He says, like, for 15 years, I was a Buddhist. And with my family, we visited all the temples that we can. We worship all together. But in Buddhism, I didn't find one thing that I found in Jesus Christ. And I asked him, what is that? He says, love. There is no such love in any other religion. That God so loved you that he gave his begotten son die for your sins. And I was like, that couldn't be true. I mean, like, in my mind, all the religions are the same. They just lead different ways, but the same place, you know. Like, and I come back home and I open my books about Buddhism. Yeah, there is no love. Open the books about Confucianism, you know, there is no love. And then Taoism, there is no love. It's like, okay, it might be true, but I don't want to be a Christian. You know, my grandma, she was a bootlegger, you know, making... she was a Christian, she claimed, but she was a bootlegger making moonshine whiskey during the night and sell it to the neighbors. And we have the alcoholic problem in Russia, you know, like... And all the neighbors, all the guys from the neighborhood, when they ran out of the money to buy the alcohol from my grandma, so they stole something from their home, like TV set or something. They brought to my mom and to my grandma and changed it for the alcohol. Okay, in the morning their wives came and started beating to our door. You know, get my TV back. It's like, okay, it's like. Grandma, what are you doing? You are a Christian. You're supposed to do a good thing, you know. But, well, in the morning she prayed and, you know, about everything. But in the night she worked hard to make an alcohol. So, and I saw that all the Christians are hypocrites. I don't want to be a Christian, okay? So, and then those Chinese guys, they shared the gospel with me. But I was thinking, no, I'm not going to be a Christian. Okay, I want to be friend with you, okay? And... but not with Jesus, okay? So, and on the day they were leaving our town, I get to this guy and we stay together. He used his camera and we made a picture of us. And he said, well, okay, I will print the picture in Hong Kong and send it to the church. You know, like that was the time when we print the pictures, right? So I said, I will print the picture, send it to your church, and if you like it, you come and take it. He said, okay. And I was thinking, okay, I go to church for the picture. When the picture will come, it will be an envelope with an address. I don't know why I didn't get his address at that time. So it will be a letter with an address. And I will write him back and we'll have the communication. And I don't need the church for that. But before that, I said, before the letter come, I will go to church. So I start coming every Sunday, sitting on the back row and just waiting until everything is done, you know. I don't even listen. And then when, you know, it's time to go home and I come to pastor and says, well, anything news from Hong Kong? He says, not yet. It's okay. So I came back next Sunday and the next Sunday and he was like, okay, yeah, I see this new guy coming, you know, every Sunday. So he come to me and says, well, would you like to study Bible on Thursday night? We have Bible study in my home. And I was like, that's great. If the letter will come on Thursday, so I will skip the Sunday, so I don't want to go to Sunday anymore. He said, okay, let's do that. So, but on Thursday, that was a different story. They give me a New Testament for the first time in my life. I open it, and you know what? Jesus is a Jew. Okay, I got to the genealogy. Okay, I said, oh, he's a Jew. Okay, so that was a big surprise for me. So from my first lesson in the Bible study, so I came back to my grandma and said, hey, grandma, do you know who is Jesus? Who? He said, he's a Jew. They said, no way, you know. And Mary, it's the Russian name, you know, like in the Matthew, Peter, you know. What are you talking about? It's like, uh-huh, okay. So anyway, I was coming to the church for the letter, but I was so surprised on my Bible studies, because when I open the Bible, I get some information and I like it. And I start to share that with my friends and neighbors, and all people say, oh, Igor, get crazy, get religious, just don't talk to him anymore, just stay away from that guy, he is crazy. So, and I was sharing, I mean, like... And then in one family, I came and shared the gospel, whatever I learned from the lesson on Thursday. And in my mind, I heard the voice of God. I didn't know that's God, but I heard the voice. And he says, well, you don't believe in this. Why do you share? And I was like, well, I believe that it is true, but not for me. And I kept sharing, you know. And the voice came again and says, well, if you don't believe... just don't share. And I say, well, okay, but they're interesting. they're interested in that to listen, so I'm going to share, you know, and I keep doing that. And the third time when the voice came and he says, well, if you don't believe, just don't preach. And I found myself the same hypocrite as my grandma. I'm deceiving them. I'm coming to the church. They think that I'm coming to the church for the Lord, but I was waiting for the letter, right? And then I'm sharing something with other people, and they think that I'm religious, but I am not. And I was like, oh, I need to stop to going to church, or I have to make a decision. I have to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I came to church, and I was listening. Pastor was preaching something, but I was thinking about myself. And I said, well, they say that God loves me so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for my sins. But I'm still living in my own life and don't even care about that. And it's, and then I realized that he loves me so much that he sent the Chinese to come to my town to share the gospel with the guy who loved China and who is wanted to have Chinese friends, and that is true love. And I'm like, God is great. So I stand up and start praying and crying, and after my prayer I feel that I was bearing some heavy weight on me before, but now I'm free. I was going home and I see the people on the street and I want to hug them and say, hey, God loves you, man. So that's my life changed. And at that time I was thinking, what can I do for God? You know, God's so good to me, what can I do for him? And at that time I was not rich at all, and not even now, but anyway, so it's not rich village, it's spelling differently, you know? So that's another rich, okay? So then I was thinking, okay, I don't have enough money to support any mission, okay? I wasn't able to preach yet. I don't know how to preach. I wasn't able to teach yet. I don't really know the Bible yet. So I am not a good singer or player. So, well, nothing I can do for the Lord. And I was like, oh, maybe he's not looking to my skills. Maybe he's looking for something else. And I was like, what do I love most in my life? Oh, China. And he sent the Chinese to share the gospel to me. Lord, I want to be in China. I want to bring the gospel back. So that was my decision, and I started praying about that. And surely enough, after my studying in a Christian university in Ukraine, when I get married and my first son was born there, so we moved to the Russian Far East on the border with China, and for 25 years we were doing ministry in there. So.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Now, you know, there.
Just a second. And the letter came a year after. So I was already Christian. When I get the letter, I says, Lord, it's too late. I'm already Christian. Yeah.
I think of that scripture that says, it is God who works in you, both to will and do that which pleases him. Because when you were lost, you had a desire awakened within you for Chinese people. You wanted to be around them. You wanted to know about them before you ever knew the Lord.
Amen.
And then very unusual is that you decided you'd be a preacher before you were even saved.
Amen.
You know, but God was just working in you till you finally got to the place where you you put one and one together and got two, right?
Amen. True.
That's amazing. That's probably happening in here tonight too. You, among some people, you don't realize how much God's working in and through. Maybe somebody here tonight that God's going to do something like he's done through Pastor Igor, because now he's spending his life getting the gospel to Chinese people, even though now he's not in the former Soviet, in Russia, but in the United States of America and in Washington State. How does that look like for him? I mean, how's that operating for him, Ellis? I mean, how is he ministering to China from Washington?
Well, thankfully, the internet can get in there. But even with the internet, Igor is very careful when he communicates with the local leaders. And just, you know, there's all sorts of China's big brother is really good at monitoring things. And so you really don't want to put someone on the radar. So you do all you can to be careful. And so I've witnessed some of his engagements with the national leaders, and it just looks different than some of the engagements, like when I engage with our national leaders in Thailand. Thailand's a free and open country, but China's just a whole different story.
You mentioned Thailand again. Can we put up the one of the pictures that shows a huge baptism taking place? Tell us a little bit about this, Ellis. This is, Bob has mentioned that to us. And I know you've been in ground zero for these things. I'd like to hear about it.
Oh, these are so awesome to be at. When we first started going in and working with Pastor Somsok and his family, they had 17 or 12 or 17 churches. These are above ground churches, and they had been doing outdoor evangelism, and it had been getting some results, and there had been some fruit. And this is in central Thailand, the heart of Thailand, not in Bangkok, not in Chiang Mai, not in the tourist areas. It's just rural farmland, just salt of the earth Thais, and so. Started working with Pastor Somsok, and he was sharing with him, and he brought over the Cambodian national leader and brought over the leader, the Burmese leader from Myanmar, and they were just talking about, oh, yeah, we just go from village to village and share the good news, and there's amazing fruit, you know? And so it just really unlocked. He just saw that there was this, and God had already been speaking as well to Pastor Somsok and giving him visions and dreams and showing him that I'm going to do something special. And he just started hearing from other local believers from countries nearby in the Buddhist world. And it's just been amazing to see. They just go from village to village sharing the good news. They go and say, hey, are you interested in hearing about Jesus? And they gather a few households. And then they say, what are some challenges in your life? Pray in the name of Jesus for some of these challenges. And some of these people agree, okay, well, I'll try this, because they're desperate. They go to the temple all the time, burn the incense, nothing, silence, crickets. But now they're calling on the name of Jesus, even though they don't really know who Jesus is. But someone said, there is a God, and he loves you. But could you ask anything in the name of Jesus, and the prayers will be answered. And so then you have this grandma, from the farm village, that all of a sudden has a couple prayers answered because she prayed in the name of Jesus, and then she wants to know more. And you really can't take that faith away from someone, that intimate experience where she didn't share that prayer request with anybody. So now you have this grandma that's like, I know that I keep praying, and he keeps answering prayers. So it's a genuine faith that's rooted there, right there in that village. And we're seeing amazing fruit. And now, not only that, is when you start to disciple and start to say, you also need to be baptized. They're saying, okay, yeah, when can I baptize? And just this last fall, I was in Thailand, and I was at a baptism with 2,447 people.
Wow.
They just Praise kept the Lord. Coming and kept coming.
Wow.
And it just... It's unbelievable. I missed one of the first baptisms of like a few hundred people, and I was like, oh man, I can't believe I missed that. I was so bummed. I was doing some other stuff, and my dad was there, and my brother was taking some pictures. I don't know how many people was there, like 500? 700, okay. But now it just keeps growing and growing and growing, and now they're in 7 years, they're now close to 100,000 believers in central Thailand.
That's amazing. Could you put another one of the pics up back there and tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
So this was at another baptism that I was at recently. And here's the pastor Somsok's son is in purple. His name's Luke, and so we at Reach a Village, we focus on mobilizing local church planters to go out into the village, in church planting teams to go out and share where the gospel is not. And so, but what we also want is to make sure that every person
that responds to the gospel, that is walking in faith and obedience and wants to be discipled, has a chance to have their own Bible in their heart language. And so here we're giving 1,500 Thai Bible, a little less than 1,500 Thai Bibles to the believers that are coming to faith.
That's amazing. The next one.
So yeah, so just more baptisms. This one might be the same one here. Yes. These are all pastors that are from different areas, and so they're all overseers. And so they come and they are the ones that are baptizing these believers.
Next. The kids looks like they have some materials they've been given.
Oh, this is awesome. Okay, this is in the Philippines, and we are in, we have over 4,300 trained Christian workers that go into public schools in the Philippines. We're working in over 1,000 public schools. 1,109, I believe, is the current number. I was just looking at the stats for that. And over 6,000 classrooms. And classrooms average in the Philippines between 40 students and 60 students. So we're in 6,000 classrooms. We're trained local believers from local churches like this, go to the public school, and for 45 minutes, they share Christian values from the Bible in the classroom. This is an incredible ministry, and it's only possible because of the local people in the church. It would not happen without faithful local people, local believers that have responded, heard the call, and said, "Yes, I'll go to my public school. I'll be that genuine Christian that they have an interaction with." And then those people then point them, "Okay, where do you live? What neighborhood? Oh, I know a good Bible teaching church here. Go to this. I know this pastor." So they'll send them to the nearby local healthy church and plug them right in. It's incredible.
One thing that's really impressed me about what you guys are doing is how you have so bridged with the indigenous people groups. Instead of the old prototypical, let's build a missionary compound and everybody come to us and we'll do it the American way, you guys are finding those key leaders, those houses of peace, that apostolic leader.
That's right.
And equipping them and supplying resources and ground level, front row folks are getting the work done. And I just commend you for that vision. And
amen.
And I know that there's 1,000 yeses through the years that have preceded this ministry getting to the place where it is now. And I know from your dad, what year was it, Bob, that y'all went to Thailand the first time? 1979. Wow.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of trial and failure. And then you have that success. Ooh, let's try that again. Success, success, failure. But it's God that does the work. It's the Holy Spirit that's working.
Yes.
We just need to be faithful in failing. Okay? Can you be faithful in failing?
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit. He does the work. God draws them to himself. We just need to be around, to show up, be faithful, yourself.
That's so true. A question for each of you before we wind things up. Why is missions important? And if there's someone here tonight, their heart is stirred, what can they do to be a part?
You know that Christ do not have other body on this earth except the church, right? So we are his foot and hands. We are his voice and eyes and, you know, and he could touch the person only by our hands, only by our support. You know, he could, using only us, to reach the places that is unreached. And that is why mission is important. It's the rescue mission. We go and rescue people. We help them. We show them how God loves them and care about them. And that's only we can do as the family, as the body of Christ. in body there is so many different parts, cells, ligaments, muscles, bones, you know, and all of us here right now sitting here is that kind of little part of his body. If we are not functioning, the body is unhealthy. It couldn't move fast enough. It couldn't reach on time some people that need Christ. So that's why his mission is so important. And all of us has the role in that body. And you can be part of that. Just think about what you can do for Christ, for his body, to reach people in unreached places and nations.
Amen. You know, it's we are commanded to obey all that we are called to obey all that God has commanded, and he's commanded us to go. It says the Great Commission, go into all the world, but it says go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We need to make sure we're going to our Jerusalem, our nearby first. It's great that God's put in your heart to go overseas if God is calling you. Make sure you're doing it. You're doing it here first. You're experiencing that. Because when you go over there, they're going to ask you, well, what were you doing? What were you doing before you came here? And have you ever brought anyone to the Lord? No, not yet. But I thought I'd come over here to a different culture, a different language, different people, and try it. It's hard. It's really hard. So work on your Jerusalem and your Judea and your Samaria. So, you know, there's some neighborhoods. One of the amazing things that happened to me when I came back from living in the Philippines, and I came back to Alabama, and Alabama had changed after being gone for 10 years. And now there were, like, Mexican communities in Coleman, and there was this one neighborhood where it was just all Mexican kids, and they were just, like, playing out in the street. And, of course, both their parents were working. And some of my friends from a small group, we all said, let's start up a little ministry and start ministering to these children of migrant workers. And so we started just working with just local, right? But that was kind of outside of our culture. But we were working with like kind of a near culture people. And God can have you start to exercise that muscle of reaching out if God is giving you a heart. And I'm sure there's international students here in this area as well that you can start to reach out and just see how that goes. But yeah, there's opportunities here in your backyard. You want to make sure you're exercising those muscles before you start to go out. That would be my recommendation if God's calling you. And he is still calling people to go over there and master a language and master and understand a culture. It's possible. God is still calling those people like that. Do it local first.
Yeah, I would support that thought because before I go to China for my ministry, when I made this decision to be a preacher in China, I told to my pastor, and pastor says it never happened, okay? So China is so far away, you never learn the language, just forget it, and be here in our church and, you know, preach and teach and so on. No, I want to go to China. And then I decided to go to Ukraine for Christian education. The night before I go, I was sleeping and I have a dream that I am sharing the gospel with the Chinese in Ukraine. I've never been there, okay? I don't know what is Ukraine. But I wake up in the morning and say, oh, okay, Lord, yeah I'm going to go there. So I came to, my train arrived in the city in Ukraine. I get out of the train, get onto the public bus that drives me to the university where I go to. I'm standing in the public bus and pray to God and says, God, I'm in Ukraine. Where is Chinese? And right after my prayer, the bus stopped in the bus station, and there is a bunch of the Chinese students get into the bus. And I was like, God, okay, I got it. So there are Chinese in Ukraine. So that was the beginning of my ministry. Yes, for 3 years when I was getting my education, get my bachelor's degree in theology, I was preaching and sharing the gospel with the Chinese in Ukraine and in the Russian language. That was something amazing. Yeah, but so God prepared me for that. And this is the practice. So that's what Ellis is talking about. You have an opportunity right here next door. Just look for that. Open your eyes. Everywhere I go, I find Chinese now. Wherever I go, we go to the Chinese restaurant, I start talking in Chinese to them, and they were like, oh, they bring other people from the kitchen, and we talk, and, you know, it's like, that's a great opportunity. Like, Chinese are everywhere. The last, maybe, a remark for that. Ellis and I, we were in a conference about Indonesia, okay? And we were there, and they talk about Indonesia and so on. And then we have a little group, just people who sit around me. We just get into small groups and start discussing some questions. Why are you here? Why on this conference? So they ask me that question. I say, I have no idea why I'm here. You know, like Ellis wants me to come, so I'm here. But my heart is for China, not for Indonesia. And I think that would be so great if I would find Chinese in Indonesia. The guy who was sitting right behind me, he says, I am Chinese from Indonesia. I was like, okay. So now I know why I'm here. So the ministry is just around you guys. You know.
You've convinced us that's your call, for sure.
Yeah, they are everywhere. I mean, like, even in Alabama, yeah.
Last thing, very seriously, Ellis, tell us just a little bit about the scope of how many have yet to hear.
The birth rates that are happening now in the nations where their gospel is not growing, they're outpacing us. And there's close to 3 billion people who have not heard, and many of those people don't even know a believer, don't have access to a Bible. And we can do a small part in helping with that, but the need is huge. And in some of these countries, if we don't start getting to the heart people, to those areas where they're multiplying, and the gospel doesn't get in there and it doesn't get saturated in those nations, we'll continue to just be another 3 billion, another 3 billion, another 3 billion. So we have to start the work now. We have to do all that we can because the number is huge. You know, over 1.5 million villages that have no gospel, no presence, no body of believers. So the need is huge, and that's why I love what we're doing. We're going to the unreached. We're going to the areas where, you know, real easy to kind of fly into a city and then start up a ministry in the city. A little bit harder when you go out into the farm village, because you really got to be able to do heart-to-heart language and really know what you're doing. And so it's just such a blessing to work with apostolic, just spirit-filled believers who are called to reach their own nations, and then to just come along behind them and then just listen well. What are the needs this year? What are the needs? And then fund those needs.
Amen. Any final words?
Well, I met some good guys in this church even when we talk outside. I met one of sons of a pastor here, and he's still thinking about what he will gonna do, you know. So I just want to encourage the people that have this life in front of you, just make a right decision. Serve the Lord. That is the greatest decision of my life. I never, I have my word in Chinese, never was sad or discouraged by that decision in my life. You know, I know that God was leading me everywhere, like into China, out of China, because that was the situations when my family was just standing on the knees and prayed, because I was so close to get caught by the police in China, and or I cannot cross the border or something. Like, it happens a lot. You know, but I never was disappointed on that decision. God was so good to me, and He's continue guiding me. And right in Washington State, there's lots of Chinese, and I'm preaching in a Chinese church right now there. So, and it's you know, it's amazing God. And when He gives you desire, when He gives you the mission, there is no retirement. And you have to know that until we complete the mission, we are like a Terminators. We are indestructible. We'll keep going and do the mission until we finish the goal that God placed in our life. Okay, and be blessed. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, find the Lord in your life and His guidance, and you'll be happy. You know, because when you do whatever God wants you to do, so you are feeling the sense of the life, the purpose of the life, joy of the life, and the blessings from God all the time. Amen.
Would you stand with me and let's thank God for this team that's with us tonight. We're so appreciative. We honor you. Thank you for the yes in your heart. Thank you for how you've allowed the Lord to use you with such global impact. Obviously, this is a God thing. And stretch your hands this way, congregation. Father God, we just bring this wonderful ministry team from Reach a Village up before you now in prayer. Lord, our hearts have been challenged tonight. Our hearts have been blessed. Lord, thank you that you're giving us real life examples of what missions, missionaries, people being faithful to a call that will stretch you to no end. And Lord, this team represents that. We ask that heaven's best be given them. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up intercessors around the world to man the walls of prayer for this ministry, Reach a Village. We ask, Father, that the heavens would be opened over them, that revelation would be given, insight, strategy. Lord, you've obviously been doing that. You've put keys in their hands. You've unlocked regions. You've unlocked nations. We give you honor for that. But we know there's more to come, so we ask for the spirit of revelation and wisdom and understanding to rest strongly upon this team. And Lord, what they're accomplishing is not cost-free. So we call in resources from the north, the south, the east, and west. Even from our own lives, Lord, we pray that all their needs be met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that this ministry would only increase and not decrease. It would become stronger and not weaker. And we decree and declare the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus Christ over Reach a Village, over this staff. And we thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And we thank you, Lord, that every snare, trap, plan of the enemy will be exposed and be nullified and made void by the power of the cross of Christ. And we thank you for the power of the gospel. Lord, we thank you for how they are preaching the gospel, putting the gospel into people's hands, the seed of the gospel into their hearts through scripture distribution, through giving out Bibles. Lord, thank you for those thousands of churches that have been planted these last few years and the tens of thousands of people who have received Christ. And Lord, we're just so grateful, so very grateful. And we thank you again for this team. And we ask that you bless them, Father. Bless them really, really good. And we lock arms with you here tonight at Grace House. And we declare that God is for you and not against you. We declare the plans He has for you are good, not evil. We declare the best is yet to come. And Lord, even as we've heard Ellis share about how the fields are ripened into harvest, echoing the words of Scripture that you said so long ago. So we pray to you tonight, O Lord of the harvest, send forth workers into the ripened fields of harvest into the nations. Even from our midst, Lord, those that you might touch their heart tonight and awaken hunger, awaken a call. Lord, that coal would touch lips tonight and we would say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Lord, from this midst, raise up those that will pray for missions in a new, fresh way beyond they've ever prayed before. Give in a way they've ever, beyond a way they've ever given before. Holy Spirit, have your way in the lives of this team and this ministry and in our lives here at Grace House. And we give you glory tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come and be available in the altar area tonight. If you're here tonight and the Lord's dealing with you for some need of prayer, we encourage you to come. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe He's dealing with you about a call to serve in some capacity. You might have questions for some of this team, Brother Bob and Ramona and Ellis and the team. They have a booth out in the commons area. They have pamphlets, more about their mission. And so avail yourself to that. Thank you for being here tonight. One more time, can we give the Lord a hand? Isn't this wonderful? Yes, and don't forget what the Lord would have you to sow into this ministry night to be a blessing to them. Amen. We want to bless them really, really well. Now, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, go forth, change the world. Amen. Be blessed. Thank you. Amazing grace, how